In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercessions, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise them my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom. Saint Joseph. Blessed Mother Teresa. Blessed John Paul II. Saint John Vianney. Saint Gianna. All our patron saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know what some of you are thinking. How much longer was he going to go on his litany, the saints? Now, after, we're going to start out at Mass. We're going to start out in the library, and we're going to have a little Palm Sunday procession. We're going to bless the palms. I'm going to give you some palms, and then we'll sing a hymn as we process, and then Mass will be as usual. But then after my very, very brief homily, because we will be saying the Passion, and so we'll need various parts, so I'll be asking for some volunteers to be the voice and the crowd, and then you're all the crowd, but then there's the narrator, and then I take the part of Christ, and so it's the yearly reading of the Passion of our Lord. This is Passion Sunday or Palm Sunday. So we'll do that. But then after my very, very, very brief homily, because we read the Passion, I brought my relic of the True Cross. And so within this crucifix is a little chip, two little chips, and they're put in the form of a cross of the True Cross that our Lord is crucified on. So after my little brief homily, I'm going to stand out here. And so you can, and there, through the centuries, there's been miracles associated with a veneration of the True Cross. And there's a line in one of our prayers, we adore the cross. Now, we don't adore inanimate objects, but why is that word in one of the prayers? Because the blood of Christ saturated the cross. And that's why we say that. Of course, we don't adore an inanimate object, but we say we adore the cross because it was saturated with the blood of Christ. So in the chalice is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. In the host, there's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So when you receive the host, you receive the body, the blood of Christ as well. But you can hold this, venerate it. It doesn't mean we adore the cross. We venerate the cross. We adore Christ. And then you can ask the Lord whatever you want to ask the Lord. Jesus, any of your intentions. And so it's very powerful. So we'll do that. Hope everyone's doing well and you've gotten a little rest. You like excitement in your life? Well, it's going to be exciting walking to your car if it's still raining. But we need the rain, right? We really need the rain. And it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The rain comes down and has an effect on the earth. Well, the Holy Spirit comes down and should have an effect on the good soil. That's humility. Oh, that's that H word again, humility. So if we're humble and that rain of the Holy Spirit comes down, and that's what I pray for, all of us, myself included, when we go through these little talks. Last night I mentioned Blessed Mother Teresa, Blessed John Paul II, St. John Vianney, and I could have included many other saints, but what they had in common, these three incredible human beings, was that when they were in, when people were in their presence, they had a conversion just by being in their presence. Remember when Peter walked by and his shadow was cast on people, they had conversions and cures just when his shadow was cast on them. The woman with the hemorrhage, she says, if only I touched the tassel. And that's the basis of the power of relics as sacramentals. But we need more people like them. And so my question for all of you, why not you? You say, well, I could never be like Mother Teresa. Why not? Well, that's just not possible. What are you doubting, God's grace? Because God wills you to be a saint. We can be saints. So many people are so enamored and they want to be famous. They want to walk into some restaurant someplace and, oh, can I have your autograph? They just want fame and they're willing to sell their soul and do horrible and immoral things just for fame. Athletes, baseball players, they want to be the one that hit the most home runs. Now, you ask any young person on the streets, do you think they really care how many home runs Babe Ruth hit? He hit more home runs than anybody in the games that he played. It took other people more games to hit more home runs, but in the games he played, he's really the home run king, and no steroids. But do you really think anybody cares how many home runs he's hit? Nobody cares. Do you care? I don't care. But yet there's this thirst for earthly fame which goes away and it doesn't follow us below. Scripture says our fame doesn't follow us below. Oh, I want to build the tallest building. I want to do something. We can be saints. We can help people get to heaven. Isn't that more important than hitting home runs or building buildings or being famous? Why don't we shoot for glory that lasts forever, not things that rust and nobody cares about anyway in the end? My final words last night was on revealing how we can become like Jesus Christ. I believe it was Augustine, but I'm getting old. I forget. But someone said there's only two things necessary to be a saint, and I've really meditated on these, and it's right. There's really only two things. One is that desire. You have to really want it. Now, if you look at your life and you say, what are the things I really wanted in my life? Do you really want to be a saint? If the answer is no, we have a problem. So that's the first thing. I really want to be a saint. And then the second thing is, I'm going to do it, of course, with God's grace. But we have to be like Jesus Christ. But in general, if you want to be like somebody, you have to be with that person, right? Do you ever notice that couples that got married to each other and they've been married 50, 60 years, my parents will be married 62 years this summer, and they are not alike. The reason they lasted, and they have had a good marriage, but the reason they lasted 62 years is because their faith in Jesus Christ was number one. Even in good marriages, are things perfect all the time? Of course they're not, because of the effects of original sin. But if you take your faith seriously and you love your God more than your spouse, you're going to love your spouse more than if you love them more than God. And that's a fact. But it's amazing how couples, when they get married and they're not alike, and after 50, 60 years, they start taking out on traits of their spouse, even though they don't want to be like their spouse, they start taking on their traits, right? Have you ever noticed that? I see some laughing. It's true. So if we want to be like Jesus Christ, we have to be with him. How do we be with him? Well, the most profound way to be with him is in the Blessed Sacrament. And we've heard this over and over and over. And one, you know, I'm going to be judged by many things, but one of the things that I won't be accused of in eternity is, why don't you talk about the Blessed Sacrament more? I don't think I possibly can. I talk about the Blessed Sacrament all the time. You know why? Because the Blessed Sacrament is Jesus, and I want to talk about him all the time. Because he's what consumes me. It saddens me. Yeah, right at the top of the list is disunity, not only among Christians, but among Catholics. But also, the thing, another thing that's really close to the top is, do you notice how ignored Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament? Raise your hand if you've ever noticed that. If people knew. And people that aren't Catholic, that's one of their criticisms. If Catholics really knew that was Jesus, they would be here all the time. Now, obviously, you can't be here all the time. That's what monks and the Carmelite sisters, the Pink sisters, that's what they're called to. You're not called to that. But yet so many people, and I would say most Catholics, spend zero time with the Blessed Sacrament. Nothing. And yet they say, well, I believe that's Jesus. An easy thing to start is to do a holy hour once a week. Now, when you start spending time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and you're not used to spending a whole hour, we go to a movie, and most movies, let's face it, they're awful, aren't they? They are. Filthy stuff. God doesn't want filth in our minds. I don't go to movies anymore. I just don't. I don't want that in my mind. I went to give communion to someone who was dying. They had a Jackie Chan movie on. And I just walked by, and they're karate chopping and all this, and taekwondo and all that, and they were just beating each other up. Round kicks, side kicks, round kicks, rectangular kicks, I don't know. And I had to ask the family, can you turn that down? And I don't know about you, but this is my mind. Whenever I do see a movie, and it's been quite a long time, the next day when I'm praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the scene of the movie's in my mind. I can't get out of my mind. Not to mention the fact that night, that very night, I had a dream. I was in a Jackie Chan movie. It consumes me. Even my dreams. And there was something in the middle of this room, and thank goodness I was one of the good guys, and we had to get whatever, but fighting over what's in the middle of the room. So we all had guns, and I ran out of bullets, and so I resorted to Taekwondo. I studied Taekwondo. You'd never know it. Don't mess with old father. Because I was a blue belt. No, I wasn't a black belt. That means my karate chops are half efficacious. So I ran out of bullets, and so I'm kicking and. But most movies are just junk, and when they have junk, then you're thinking of junk. When a glass is full of salt, there's no room for pepper, and vice versa. So when our mind's full of things, now I'm not saying don't ever go to movies, I'm not saying that, but be very choosy and about what you see. Be very careful what you see. The eyes are the windows to the soul, aren't they? In Revelation, it says, nothing impure will see the face of God. But yet, we'll go to a ball game, we'll go to a movie, and they last a couple hours. We don't think anything of it. But boy, if you're not used to spending an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you'll go and spend that hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and you're dying, you're in the desert, and you're just adjusting your collar, and you're just. But I just been here 4 or 5 hours. You look at your watch, you've been there 8 minutes. It's true. St. Teresa of Lisieux used to shake the hourglass because she had desolation during her holy hour. Let's get this over with. She was dying. And of course, she had that desolation in prayer. If you've never had desolation in prayer, you will. See, when we run away from God, he pursues us. That's that lost sheep. He pursues us. Then he gives us spiritual candy and consolations and sweetness and joy and wonderful sweetness and prayer to get us back. And then once we're back, he runs away from us, and then we chase after him, and we have desolations. When I'm in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know what I feel? Nothing. Because Jesus wants to purify me. But if you're not used to doing a holy hour, it's just, my recommendation would be split it up 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Just don't say the rosary, don't read anything. Just talk to the Lord, quiet. That's the most efficacious. When you want to hear the Holy Spirit, it's in that contemplative prayer. We want to be contemplatives for that 20 minutes. For the next 20 minutes, read some scripture, say a rosary. The next 20 minutes, get something good to read. Spiritual reading. Anything by Ignatius Press is solid. It's amazing how many people, they've got advanced degrees and secular studies, but their knowledge of the faith is infantile because they've gone to CCD, which is 1 hour once a week, and you can't learn anything. I'm going to go to my surgeon. He's going to take my kidney on. How'd you get your training 1 hour once a week? You can't learn urology 1 hour once a week. I'm going to crack your chest open and put a new valve in. How'd you learn? Oh, just 1 hour once a week. We can't learn our faith 1 hour once a week. And then how it ends up so often, we get enough to be confirmed, and then that's it. And people really don't know their faith. That's why so many people fall away. So the more you learn your faith, the more you're going to know Jesus, the more you're going to love him. St. Jerome says ignorance of scriptures is the ignorance of Jesus. So studying the scriptures, reading the scriptures. Have you read the entire Bible? If you have, keep reading every day, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, every day. But the Eucharist, I make no bones about this. My life changed when I went to daily Mass. When our Lord said, hey, why aren't you going to Mass every day? I started going to Mass every day and my life changed. I didn't like my life before I started going to daily Mass. I was weak. I'm no different than any one of you. You want to be strong? Spend time with Jesus. How do you do it? Blessed Sacrament. Try to receive him as often as you can. Spend that hour. Begin with 1 hour once a week. And then the sacramentals. The rosary is a powerful prayer. And if you don't feel like saying it, I don't either. I'm going to talk about this in my little homily. Our Lord didn't feel like dying for us. He didn't feel like suffering for us. He really didn't. The scripture is very clear on that point. He didn't feel like dying for us, suffering. But he did, because he loves us. So feeling schmeelings, we do lots of things we don't feel like doing. When you have a little baby and it's going to be really soon and that baby cries at 3 in the morning, you're going to want to get up? You're going to feel like getting up? She says yes. I don't believe her. Of course you don't, but you do it. Why? Because you love the baby. Christopher's a great name, by the way. Daily prayer. Let me ask you this question. How much do you pray every day? When I was teaching 8th grade and sophomores, the very first day I asked the kids to fill out a 3x5 card. And the real reason I did this is because I wanted their address and their phone number or their parents. So when they were bad boys and girls, I'd call their parents. That was the real reason. But I had a little fun with them. I said, okay, I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, how much do you pray every day? Question number two, how much time do you spend watching TV, internet, movies, electronic gadgets, smartphones, iPad, iPod, I this, I that. Notice it's called I. Then you go to a restaurant, you see a mother or daughter sitting there and they're on their iPhones. Grade school children having smartphones. What do they have smartphones for? So So what were the answers? There are some kids that legitimately pray quite a bit every day, but most kids are praying a minute, a lot of them nothing, and 3 to 4 hours a day on electronic stuff. So I asked him, how does God feel about that? So how much do you pray every day? Now, I'm probably talking to the choir and everyone prays a significant amount of time here, but if perhaps there's one person here that's not praying really much at all every day, don't say, I don't have time. That's not true, and you know it's not true. You know, when you meet your love, you know, when you first meet, you're smitten. That's all you can think about. All you could think about was her. And all you could think about was him. His smile, his this, his that. And you think, and when you first met, you really fell in love, that all you could think about, right? And you wanted to talk to him all the time. When we love God, we're going to want to spend time with him. We're going to want to talk to him. We're going to want to be with him, right? We're not going to want to ignore him. Oh, I have to go to church. No, we get to go to church to be with Jesus. I'm going to tell you a story about a woman. You're going to kind of put this in perspective. I know this woman very well. I've known her for many years. I've known the family for many years. And I've actually had conversations with this woman to try to get her to pray more. Yeah, whatever, Father. And she was thinking, I'm sure, blow it out your ear kind of thing. How often do we hear prayer, prayer, prayer? Yeah, well, you know, or I don't have time for that. Nice woman. She got married a little later in life to a man who lost his wife, and so he had grown children, and she was maybe, I'm guessing, 10 years younger, but she was past childbearing age. Anyway, they got married. I had no idea, but she had a drinking problem. She hid it very well. But it got worse. And then I could tell that when I would visit this family, and she'd walk in the door. But for years I saw this. She would walk in just for a few minutes. And this was before she was married. I can't stay. I have to sort my socks. It was always laundry. Well, she was going to go home to drink. They get plowed. Then she gets married. And then when I was over visiting the family, I noticed that she'd pour herself a glass of wine. But anyway, she hid it very, very well. But it really started to affect her job, her marriage. And her husband was getting fed up. She started, this particular week, I got a phone call. Father, would you be involved in an intervention? And I said, sure. And what was happening is 3 or 4 days in a row, she just didn't go to work and didn't call in. Now, what happens to somebody that just doesn't show up to work? They get fired. So anyway, I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was part of this intervention in this family, and this woman was mad, angry. But she was against a brick wall because she knew something needed to change. That thirst to drink. So we figured out a place that she could go for treatment. And I talked to her about spiritual things, the same thing I've been talking to her about for years, about praying every day, spending time with Jesus every day. Sometimes when a person hits rock bottom and there's the only direction is up, right? Sometimes people have to hit rock bottom because there's only one way, and that's up. So, at this treatment facility, she started saying her rosary again every morning and some other prayers. And then when she exited treatment, I visited her. She looked like a different person. she had this spark in her eye again, which I hadn't seen for years. She's doing great. So she exited treatment probably a couple years ago. She's doing great. And she has a supportive husband that loves her. You know what they do every morning? The rosary and 45 minutes of prayer together. This is not complicated stuff. The difference is she wasn't willing to pray. I don't have the time. But now they get up and they live busy lives. So what this means is getting up an hour earlier for prayer. That's really nothing different than what I do. I spend my hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I think she's going to start going to daily Mass. But we just must spend time with Jesus every day. Guess what Mother Teresa used to do? 3 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day. 3 hours. Now, you don't have 3 hours to spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day, but you can imitate this woman who had a drinking problem. She spends an hour? Well, she had to carve that out at the beginning of the day, but you should see her. It's incredible what has happened to her. And then the second thing is penance. What did our Lord do before he started his 40 days for his public life, 40 days in the desert, fasting? Fasting is powerful. How much fasting do we do? Unless there's some medical reason not to do it. Fasting is powerful. But giving things up, it's working on our attachments. I love St. John of the Cross because he said, you know, some of the saints that flagellate themselves, he said, we shouldn't be doing that. We should work on our attachments. What are we attached to? So if we give up wax beans for Lent, who likes wax beans anyway? It's like eating paper. At least green beans have flavor to them. And you know, you have to put butter on them. You add butter to wood chips, it tastes good. But we have to give up things that we're attached to. And that's the whole thing about St. Teresa Avila. I just love Avila, Teresa Avila, Teresa Lisieux, St. John of the Cross. And Teresa Avila had a vision of our soul. There's 7 compartments. And the 7th is when we have spiritual union with God in this world. All of us are called to it. Very few achieve it. Why? Because of the attached to the world. So we have to drop our attachment. There's 2 purifications. And one of them is what we do ourselves, aided with God's grace. And the other one, we only can get so far and God has to do the rest. But then when we get to the 7th mansion, it's union with God in this world. And very few people achieve it because they're attached to the world. Once you taste the divine, things of the world just don't cut it anymore. See, detachment isn't I don't enjoy something, it's you don't desire it. So I used to really be attached to I wanted to get a motorcycle again, and no, there's nothing intrinsically evil with getting a motorcycle. I know priests with motorcycles, but boy, was I really attached. I wanted to get another one. But I have a long way to go. But now, I don't really care anymore. But once you taste the divine, things of the world don't cut it. Once you've tasted filet mignon, medium rare, smothered with mushrooms and chives and sour cream on the baked potato and deep dish apple pie, you're not going to go back to liver and onions anymore, are you? You're not going to go back to chicken fried steak. You're just not going to do it, even though you like those things. Once you've tasted the divine, things of the world just don't cut it anymore. All you want is God. And so penance helps us be more attached to God because we're becoming more detached from the things of the world. And then ordinary time, we're called to do penance in ordinary time, but most Americans restrict their penances to Lent, and it's just a little chocolate and a few donuts and very, very little penance. We're very soft, aren't we? I need to do more penance. But remember, prayer plus penance is more powerful than prayer alone. So you want to be Jesus, like Jesus, you have to spend time with him. And if you don't love Jesus, if you start spending time with him, you'll start loving him. And then when it comes to sinful habits that we can't seem to shake, you go to confession and you just keep confessing the same things over and over and over. You get to the point in your life where you say to yourself, Lord, I've sinned too much. I've hurt you too much. I love you so much. I don't want to hurt you anymore, because sin hurts Jesus. It increases the pain in his passion, and it offends the Father and the Holy Spirit. It hurts God. Get to that point in your life, I just don't want to hurt you anymore. When you start going through those mansions, life becomes very exciting. And our Lord gives you peace and joy. So my prayer is that this Holy Week we take advantage of the Easter Triduum. So if you haven't been to all three services, why not? They're beautiful. So we can draw closer to the mystery that is none other than Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen. It is he who will lead us to God the Father, our Father, in the Holy Spirit. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us.